Open your Bibles again to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And when you found the scriptures, say word. If you need a little more time, say wait for me. The word of the Lord. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. If we were to tack on a title to the message we have prepared from this text, it would be Right Now and Not Yet. Right Now and Not Yet. I invite you to pray with me, please. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows flow, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. Join me. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Eternal God, who makes all things well with my soul, the moment of preaching has come. Anoint your servant at this time that I may preach the word you have placed on my heart with boldness, humility, clarity and insight, passion and power, fervor and flow. Remove from me everything that displeases you, and from this sanctuary, remove every hindrance to your presence that I may speak and your people may hear a life-giving, uplifting, way-making word. This is our prayer, and all who agree before the Lord say together, amen, amen. And amen. Amen. Right now and not yet. Martin Luther wrote, the prophets have a queer way of talking, like people who, instead of proceeding in an orderly manner, ramble off from one thing to the next so that you cannot make heads or tails of them or see where they are getting at. To our knowledge, Luther was not specifically writing about Isaiah, but he aptly describes the mysterious quality of the scripture before us today. Now, I confess, I love a good mystery as much as the next person. But I have to tell you, it's a challenge to prepare a message based on an enigma. Can I get some help this morning? The task of preparing a sermon often rests on locating and bringing to light the trouble in the text. That is, naming the challenge in the scripture and exposing the tension between the aspirational and the attainable. Trouble in the text is not always obvious. It can be elusive Sometimes you have to peel back layers of accommodation to locate the troubles. In this prophetic word from Isaiah, we are confronted with a glorious picture of the house of God in days to come. Thank you, Van. Zion, the mountain where God's house resides, is elevated above all other places on earth. Nations stream to it, even those outside the faith and nations that have no faith. People from all over the world make pilgrimage to seek God's ways and walk in God's path. From the mountaintop, God sends out instruction, arbitrates disputes between nations, and renders judgment. Weapons of warfare are transformed into tools to tend the earth, heralding an end to war and even the knowledge of warfare. Sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? Except this is Isaiah, not Grimm. And Isaiah was a realist, if nothing else. Consider Isaiah's admonishment in chapter 1, for example, where he paints a harsh and graphic picture of ancient society that could be ripped from today's headlines. Listen to his words. "I have reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me." Today, more than 2.1 million older Americans are victims of elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation by their children and adult caregivers. Isaiah goes on to say, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head." 2 weeks ago, a math teacher in St. Paul told his Latino students they would be deported and have to build a wall, and blacks are going back to Africa. Isaiah said, "Your country lies desolate, your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, aliens devour your land. It is desolate, as overthrown by foreigners." I work in a part of this city where gang violence has included the murder of innocent grandmothers and children. The killers are still at large, and community members feel like they are living in an occupied territory. Isaiah says, "Your silver has become dross. Your wine is mixed with water." Predatory payday lenders have become a part of the landscape in some part of the cities, where people without access to credit or traditional banking pay as much as 20% to cash a check. Help me, Lord. "They do not defend the orphan, and the widow's cause does not come before them." Consider the gridlock Minnesota legislature and governor that couldn't pass a bonding bill and can't agree on a special session to fix health care. Isaiah is clear-eyed and practical, not romantic or fanciful. He saw the world and God's people as they were back then and as they are today. But more importantly, he saw the victory of the Lord that lies ahead. Still, this passage from chapter 2 seems fantastic and far-fetched because it describes a reality that isn't real, at least not yet. The mountain of the Lord and the God of Jacob exalted in all the world? Not yet. People of every nation flooding to Zion for wisdom and knowledge and how to walk in the way of the Lord? Not yet. Nations submitting to God to arbitrate their disputes and receive God's judgment? Not yet. And weapons of minute and mass destruction converted into implements of food production? Ooh, not quite yet. This tension between right now and not yet certainly qualifies as trouble in this text. The challenge on this first Sunday of Advent, then, is to see our way through the trouble to the celebration on the other side. I want to lift 3 points from this scripture about the right now and the not yet. First, not yet doesn't mean never. Second, live like the not yet is right now. And third, walk in the light. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. This picture of the kingdom come from Isaiah clearly is meant to be understood is not yet fulfilled. After all, it begins with the words, in the days to come. But why does Isaiah speak of the not yet in the midst of a tumultuous right now? It seems almost cruel or maybe cavalier. Are you paying attention to what's going on right now, Isaiah? Have you seen the slaughter of innocents in the Syrian cities of Mosul and Aleppo, where hospitals are targeted and bombed and children are abducted and used for shields, for small weapons fire? Right now, Isaiah, right now. Have you seen the thousands of refugees, men, women, and children loaded into tiny boats on the Mediterranean in vain and desperate attempts to cross, only to find themselves washed up on the shore? And the tens of thousands of Somali and Sudanese refugees living in temporary camps for 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 years or more. That's right now, Isaiah, right now. Have you seen the deep and stubborn divide in this country leading up to and following the presidential election? The hateful and polarizing rhetoric, the pain, anger, and confusion among children and adults who have lost faith in their country and are gripped with fear for the future. That's right now, Isaiah, right now. And have you seen the unarmed black and Latino men shot and killed by police officers in Ferguson, Baltimore, San Francisco, Cleveland, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Minneapolis, and Falcon Heights, and the random backlash of ambush violence against law enforcement officers right here and now, Isaiah? The world is pretty wound up right now, and it's hard to envision the not yet. But visions are meant for such a time as this, to remind us that things won't always be this way, and to coax us to begin to continue the work of transforming our present reality into the vision of the future. Old Testament scholar Barbara Lundblad says, biblical visions in both Testaments come to us from the future, longing to shape the days in which we are living. I love that phrase, longing to shape the days in which we are living. In other words, not yet doesn't have to mean never. Even though the vision and promise of transformation has not yet been realized, it will come. Our task is to make ready for it by allowing the transformative vision to inform and structure the way we live today. We can do this if we don't allow ourselves to become paralyzed by the present and unable to move into the future. Brothers and sisters, allow God's vision for the not yet to guide our steps in the right now. But how exactly do we do that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I came prepared with an answer. Live like the not yet is right now. Let me say that again. Live like the not yet is right now. I don't mean to be simplistic or suggest it is easy. It's not. People are afraid of each other and don't trust their leaders. Instinct, if not common sense, calls us to manage the messiness of our daily lives as best we can and let the future take care of itself. The future looks a little sketchy. So why should we tailor our witness to an outcome that every day seems less and less assured? As Yogi Berra once said, the future ain't what it used to be. Well, I'll tell you why. Because despite the fact that most of us live our lives as though we have all the time in the world, the fact is none of us knows how much time remains before Zion is restored. We don't know when Christ will return, as is prophesied in Isaiah and confirmed by Christ himself in the Gospels. Matthew 26 and 30, 24 and 36 says, but about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. And verse 42 goes on to say, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Keep awake doesn't mean deprive yourself of sleep or stare up into the heavens to look for anything unusual in the clouds. Keep awake is an urgent and intense call to action meant to arouse us from the passivity and vulnerability of waiting around for the future to come. Keep awake. Take action. Live today as though the not yet is right now. What would it look like for you and me to exalt the Lord through our words and actions such that that God's house here at Park Avenue Church became the high point in this city, a pinnacle and citadel of God's presence for all to see? What would that look like? What would it look like if our faithful witness of God's work in us bore such fruit that people of every nation made pilgrimage to this church and worship community to learn the Lord's pathways? What would it look like for you and me to turn every instrument and violence in our possession into something beautiful and life-affirming? Guns, if we own them. Hate speech, if we have spoken it. Words we may have used to belittle, tear down, or intimidate. Indifference in the face of suffering and cruelty of any kind. What would it look like to transform our weapons of war into utensils of unity? I'll tell you what it would look like. It would look a lot like Zion was here right now. To God be the glory. But maybe that's too much, too big of a change for any one person. I don't believe that's true, and I hope it's not true for myself. But if you're thinking you can't change your entire life around simply to comport with God's plan for the future, why not just change one thing or two things to help shape the days in which we are living? Maybe you can't do it all at once, but can you exalt the Lord or elevate the Lord's house or facilitate the flow of nations to God or lead someone to God's holy word or turn your spear into a plowshare? I believe you can. No one knows the day or the hour, so keep awake. Keep awake. Live today like not yet is right now. And that brings me to our final point. We have seen that not yet doesn't mean never, and we've determined to live today like not yet is right now. For our final point, I want to go back to the first verse in our scripture where it says, the word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. What an odd phrasing. Did anybody catch that? The scripture says Isaiah saw the word, not heard the word, but saw it. How exactly do you see a word of God? And when you see the word of God, what's it look like? We can be sure the prophet didn't see the word in a book, on a tablet, or on a cell phone. He likely saw it in a vision. And what is the word he saw? Well, it's answered in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. If that wasn't clear enough, let me make it plain. Jesus is the Word, and through him we receive life and light. The word Isaiah saw was Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That same Jesus to whom the prophet refers in verse 5 of our text, where he says, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Jesus is the light that illuminates the darkness and cannot be extinguished. The light that leads us to new vision, new beginnings, and a new way forward. And that's the good news, the celebration in this text, brothers and sisters. No matter where you are on life's journey, you can still walk in the light. You've been stumbling through the dark. Jesus is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. So walk in the light. If you've been ashamed of what the light might reveal about you, Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Walk in the light. Maybe you're afraid of the light for fear you might not fit in with the light. But Jesus is the light of all people. Walk in the light. If you've been conflicted about the light, questioning its value, wondering if there's merit in the dark, let me tell you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Walk in the light. And if you've been running with the wrong crowd, chasing shadows, pursuing pleasures of the flesh, Jesus invites you to take up your cross and follow him. Walk in the light. You might feel too tired to change, but Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Walk in the light. It's never too late or too early to walk in the divine light of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, and be transformed by his presence and instruction. To walk in the light is to commit ourselves to a path of righteousness that leads to a rich and fulfilling life right now and in the not yet. In this season of Advent and always, Christ's invitation to walk in the light is extended to all who would hear and see his word. Not yet doesn't mean never. So live today like the not yet is right now and walk in the light. Amen.